Today I'm in Reading with James Counter, who's Louis's son. James is now at university in Reading, so I'm in a university halls of residence, which seems very strange, I have to say. So, James, first question. Now, I know you've been doing your revision on this, because I asked your parents earlier today. Where did we first meet?
Right. Well, I've been told that we first met when I was very little. I was told I was older than one at a mutual family friend's Reading, wedding even, not Reading. somewhere up north, I'm guessing Newcastle.
Yes.
But the first time I remember meeting you, which is probably the second time I met you, was either the Easter holidays or the summer half term of 2011 at the Box Vicarage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. And then were you at Brookfield House at some point as well?
Brookfield House.
Did you go to Derbyshire?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay. So Box Vicarage, but the wedding, we pinned down the wedding in our heads earlier. My eldest, who's now 17, was about 7 or 8 months old.
Right.
So, yeah, it was 16 years ago, and I think it was in Newcastle, I think.
Yes, Newcastle would make sense, I think.
So that was where did we first meet. The next question is, do you drink tea?
Well, I drink chamomile tea. Janet's shaking her head at me. It's the only tea I drink. I'm not really a hot drinks person. If it's a long day, I'll drink coffee because I need as much caffeine as I can, but object to taking caffeine tablets.
Which I think is sensible. So that's a very motherly comment. So you don't have a favourite cup of tea apart from the chamomile?
I will drink chamomile tea, but that's it. I think part of it might be and growing up with very, very hard water. It's not the nicest water.
So this question which we're asking everybody is, how do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I would vehemently disagree with both the statement that it was sleeping or dying. I'd say it's very much alive. I suspect the person who first made the statement was suggesting that Christendom was dying, and I'd agree with them. In one of your earlier episodes, you mentioned when you were in Ireland, the person holding up a piece of cardboard saying John 3:16, and I can certainly tell you from Reading, you would definitely need the for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believed in him may have eternal life, because people wouldn't know that.
So my question for you about that though is, would people even know that that was referring to the Bible?
I don't know. I mean, when I go out in my Christian Union jumper, they could probably have a fair guess, but I would doubt it, which is a surprise. It definitely reminded me of something Rico Tice said when he came to do our events week, was that with his generation, he's a lot older than me, people will have been to church. They may very well even have a Bible, but that's not the case for a lot of people here. Certainly not the student population in Reading. Most of them don't own a Bible and have never been to church. So I think I think definitely more blocks between people's path from not believing to believing. I think also the attitude the church portrays sometimes doesn't help itself. I mean, there's the news this morning of the announcement of the name of the Archbishop in It wasn't Bath, it was Bristol, isn't it?
The Bishop of Bristol.
Bishop of Bristol, even. I'm promoting her.
Yes,
well. I think things like that don't help the church in what's, to, certainly as a student, student world, it's a very, very liberal world. But
so why was that an issue? I'm just curious as to why that's going to be an issue for people. Would they pay any attention to it at all?
I find we do, as a Christian, as being somebody who's very open about their faith, I do occasionally get questions about the gender roles in Christianity, and I think there are some things that people perceive as barriers to Christianity.
So the new Bishop of Bristol's a lady?
Yes, and I think that's good, but I think the fact that that's news...
I see what you're saying, the fact that it's amazing news that this has happened.
Yes, and maybe it shouldn't be. Well, it shouldn't be news. I mean, yes, it should be news that we've got that they've got a new bishop, but it shouldn't be remarkable that we've got Vivian somebody or other.
She's Vivian Fall.
Yes, I saw it this morning and went, I won't remember that name, but...
Well, she's my new boss.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the church needs to figure out, and not just the Church of England, but the church, the body of God, needs to figure out where it stands on a few things, but it also needs to hold on to its core beliefs and figure out what it's very much going, oh, we don't agree with that, and stick up for it. But I think certainly here in Reading, and I know you're a very rural population, whereas Reading and from back home in Croydon and Purley is a very urban population. Both at home, certainly at Reading, the church is alive and kicking. I know there's at least one new church that's been set up this academic year, and from where I'm at St Lawrence, from the church I'm at here at St Lawrence, we're growing. We're up from 30 a few years ago to, I think, good services well over 100, which is really encouraging, and it's a multi-generation church. That's the mandate the church has been given, is to St Lawrence specifically, is to be a multi-generational church with a particular focus on youth mission. So they've got a youth alpha course, and they do stuff on Mondays and sometimes go into schools and do lots of things for the youth. But I think also, as part of the Christian Union, the CU on campus, it's incredible to see people coming to God. And I know in our missions week we had at least 8 people there and then go, okay, I'm going to give my life to Christ, which is really encouraging. And that's most certainly not death when we... when we pack out the marquee with people wanting to come along and being interested, I think it shows that there's definitely something to the church, and there's something in society that needs the church. And I've heard the term God-shaped hole batted about.
Louise used, which I was really astounded by, because she's not from a church background in a kind of typical way, but she did.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and you do have conversations with people going, well, yeah, there's probably a God, we're here, but don't really bother pursuing it much further. And one of the things that always astounds me, and this may just be from coming from a Christian background and being quite logical, is the, okay, so there's a God, so what does that mean? And certainly I believe it deserves a response.
Mm-hmm.
And is quite important to have a response. And I suppose one of the potential follow-on questions that you could ask from this is, okay, so what does the death of Christendom, how does that impact the church, which is very much alive and well? And that, I think, is an interesting thing to think about.
It's interesting on lots of levels, in particular from the Church of England point of view, about disestablishment and what disestablishment might mean for the Church of England. And a couple of the other people feel that quite strongly that disestablishment would be a really good thing.
Mm.
But it's difficult because of the temptation to be quite cosy in an established church, because it does get you into things.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about this, and it reminded me of speaking to somebody who said they'd gone and done something with a bunch of Egyptian Christians, and they said they don't, the Egyptian church is incredibly persecuted, and they don't ask for the persecution to stop. They ask to stand firm through the persecution, and they actually, I've been told some of them sometimes pray that actually we'd have some more challenges and need to stand up for our faith a bit more. And I think that's something that we're going to have to do. And I think, I know certainly I find I spiritually grow through the hard times. And I think the church, the community, also has to grow through those times. All of a sudden you're a lot less floaty and much more okay. You're very purposeful with it. And I think that also can tie into Sunday morning attendances or Sunday evening attendances or Sunday afternoons. St. Lawrence here has a 2 p.m. service, and that's the only service which always confuses me. But I think one of the things it does is it does ask how important God is to you, and asks you, is God important enough to make the time during the week? Maybe not a Sunday, but certainly at some point during the week. I find I very much treat church with the attitude of, I get a lot from it, but also it's me going, God, I want to be with you. I'm putting you above all of the other things that I could be doing on Sunday. I'd quite happily spend my Sunday afternoons down the climbing wall, but I think God's much more important than climbing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Some of the complications for families is that people are making decisions not only for themselves,
yes,
but for everybody who lives in their family community. And I think that does become more complicated.
Yes, I'm in the situation where that's not a problem for me at the moment. So, yes, I do look at it and think, I don't know how that would change if I had a family, but I still think it's important to try and find that time personally, and to be part of the community, be part of a community. And that's definitely, the early church was very much a community and not so much an institution. And I think it's great that we have institutions, but I think one of the reasons why I'm at St. Lawrence in Reading is because I walked in and it was a community, and it was a welcoming community, but it was a community, and I went, there's something to this.
Okay, I'm going to ask you your three specialist questions now. So how has moving away from home affected your faith?
I think it's strengthened it. I really do. I think there are certain challenges for a Christian moving into a very much non-Christian environment, as universities are. And yeah, that's had its challenges, but I think it's good that it's had its challenges and forces you to make choices. But I think also getting involved with the church and the Christian Union here has also really helped it grow, and also I think the Christian Union has definitely helped it grow, and also helped make sure it's firm throughout those first couple of months when you're going, this is all very new, but you've got a whole load of students that are both going, it's all very new, but you've got the older ones who've done that and can give you tips and hints and also encourage you to share your faith.
So what's the best thing about being at university?
The best thing about being at university, I saw this question come through and I thought, I think it's got to be the people, and I tend to be quite introverted. I certainly enjoy my own space and do enjoy the, okay, I'm back home, I can have my own space. But I was very surprised to find that it was the people. You've got the Christians, you've got the Mountaineers. I'm involved in the Mountaineering Society. That's great fun, and we have a laugh. And also the chemists. I think you've got to be slightly mad at the very least to be a chemist. And then you see the academics and think, oh dear, I might turn into one of you. Even if I don't go down the academia route, this is clearly what chemistry does to you.
Well, I'm sure I couldn't comment on that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to ask you a question about things coming up. So what I came up with was, what are your concerns about the world for the next 5 to 10 years?
I think I thought about this, and I think we're definitely getting to a much more insular people. People are clumping together with people that they agree with, and we're getting much more of an echo chamber. And I think even here in Reading, there is a slight tension when you look at things and look at different groups that disagree. And I think we're quite tolerant here, but I think with Brexit and Trump and Putin and everything else all going on, I think I am concerned about how that's going to go, and interested as to what's going to come out of it. Yes.
So the last question is, what's your favourite thing beginning with T?
That would have to be the Toyota TS050, Le Mans race car. Not one Le Mans yet, but hopefully this year.
Right. I shall keep my eye out for that then. So James, thank you very much for having me here in Reading today.
Thank you for coming.